Did Roy do what we are being made to think he did? Are Laurel and Ted trading more than jabs? Will Ray continue to allow Felicity to have the most ridiculous reasons for leaving work early or not turning up at all? And will Ollie allow for a more family-friendly, flexible workplace by setting up a creche in the Arrow Cave? Stay tuned as our Fearless Four discuss all these issues and more on the latest episode of the little podcast that we like to call Rogue Arrow. Da, da, da,
da, da, da. My name is Oliver Queen. After 5 years in hell, I have come home with only one goal: to save my city. Now others have joined my crusade. To them, I'm Oliver Queen. To the rest of Starling City, I'm someone else. I am something else.
Mrs. Vernon, I already told you I haven't seen your cat.
I haven't seen him either. Where's the cat girl? Was it being misogynist just now? Or is it misogynistic? I never know.
Ray, what are you?
Nice place you got here. Lots of space. So it occurred to me this morning, what's the one thing that Queen Consolidated has that we don't use to its maximum potential?
A doorbell?
Have you heard of a process called cogeneration?
I haven't even looked at a cup of coffee yet.
Well, cogeneration is
a repurposing of waste heat given off by electricity production.
Exactly. It's a principle of thermodynamic efficiency, which occurred to me could be applied to a building which generates over 240,000 watts of electricity, like Queen Consolidated.
Mm-hmm.
I did some preliminary calculations on the drive over.
You want to sell QC's excess energy back to the city?
If by sell you mean give away for free, yes. Energy is something that should be given freely to the masses. You still haven't found Miss Renan's cat, I'm guessing.
Hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 5 of the Rogue Era Podcast. The best era podcast with four co-hosts in three time zones on two continents discussing one television show.
We're back, baby!
Yeah, we're all back. That's right. As always, I am Daniel Janes.
I'm Rudy Schuback.
I'm Chris O'Neill.
And I'm Laurel Mers!
Yeah. We're finally here, so I can use that beautiful tagline. Today we've got episode 3.05, The Secret Origin of Felicity Smoke, written by Ben Sokolowski and Brian Ford Sullivan, and directed by Michael Schultz. And as usual, we got our good friend, totally blanking on his name, Jeremy. With a review.
Hi, this is Jeremy from Melbourne, Australia, and welcome to the recap of Episode 5 from Season 3 of the CW's TV show Arrow, entitled The Secret Origin of Felicity Smoke. The show opens with a montage of our stars sparring. Ollie and Roy are sparring with sticks, Laurel is boxing with Ted Grant, Thea and Merlin are engaging in swordplay, and Diggle is practicing with his nunchucks. But unfortunately for Chris O'Neill, he's off camera for this scene. Ray invades Felicity's personal space only to be outdone by Felicity's cocktail waitress mum. We see our first glimpse of our 5 years ago Felicity, and $1 million goes to anyone who could have predicted what she would look like. Turns out our 5 years ago Felicity, who I'll now call goth-looking Felicity, is an A-grade hacktivist, along with her boyfriend Cooper and their creepy friend Myron. Ollie finds out Thea has Malcolm Merlin's supposedly estate money, but wait, there's a conveniently timed computer virus spreading throughout the city. The power is out, but a creepy hacker is in control, and he tells the city this. Laurel steps up as acting district attorney. When the hacktivist targets the banks, Laurel slightly overreacts and sends in the riot squad to a bank. Things escalate, but luckily Roy and Ollie's cute tear gas arrows disperse the crowd. Goth-looking Laurel watches her boyfriend get taken in by the FBI for his hacktivism 5 years ago. We discover this virus was written by Felicity 5 years ago as well. She explains this to Ollie in her exposition speech that starts out with something like, "Well, this one time at band camp, Felicity fingers Myron, the creepy friend from 5 years ago. But it turns out it wasn't him after Ollie and Roy shoot out two monitors for some reason. Why the monitors? They always shoot the monitors. Captain Lancy Pants chews out Laurel for squashing an ant with a sledgehammer. Laurel tells her dad that she has pain, but she can't tell him about it. Lance is Dad of the Year for just plain old accepting this and trusting her. Dad of the Year, perhaps, but not Detective of the Year. We finally get Ollie giving some kind of explanation to Thea about the Arrow Cave's location, telling her a whole level of the basement has been flooded. We're not sure whether she buys this or not. Suspicion turns to Felicity's ex-boyfriend Cooper, but it can't be him because he's dead. Or is he? Ray comes into Felicity's office, but she must be the simultaneous best and worst employee ever, having to leave the office unexpectedly, bringing her family's problems to work. And we have our first CW moment of the episode, with an emotional scene between Felicity and her mum. Ollie sees that Felicity is unbalanced and makes her go to her mum. Tonight's episode is brought to you by the not-so-subtle message throughout the episode that loving your family is the most important thing. Actually, I think I might go call my mum straight after recording this. Felicity patches things up with her Oliver-mandated mediation with her mum. Felicity discovers her mum was given a free ticket to Starling City, and we find out that Cooper is alive and now the baddie of tonight's episode. He's been with the NSA for 5 years and now has a slightly warped view of the world. But his fury is all about money. Felicity double hacks the hack and double crosses Cooper using his mum's Apple Watch Fitbit clone. Oliver escapes from an overly complicated motion-controlled machine gun setup that looks silly enough to be in the original Batman TV series from the 60s. Felicity escapes from Cooper's hold using some of her mum's mongrel. We cross to see the transformation of goth-looking Felicity to blonde Felicity, but I do notice that 5 years ago she appears to be wearing the same frames as present day. Laurel admits her rage problem to Ted. He says that now he knows how to teach her. Ollie turns up at Thea's comfy apartment with popcorn, and Thea invites him to live with her. And then we see Malcolm doing his best rooftop gargoyle impression as he spies on Ollie and Thea from afar. And our episode finishes with a rooftop vision from Roy that may change everything forever. But this only leaves more questions for me that are yet unanswered. Did Roy do what we are being made to think he did? Are Laurel and Ted trading more than jabs? Will Ray continue to allow Felicity to have the most ridiculous reasons for leaving work early or not turning up at all? And will Ollie allow for a more family-friendly, flexible workplace by setting up a creche in the Arrow Cave? Stay tuned as our Fearless Four discuss all these issues and more on the latest episode of the little podcast that we like to call Rogue Arrow! Da, 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 da,
da. Mom, this is Oliver.
Queen.
Very nice to meet you.
Yes, it's so nice to meet you, too. How many billionaires do you know?
Diggle, meet Felicity's mom.
Mom. John Diggle.
Hi.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Oh, hello. Who is this little nugget?
This is my daughter, Sarah.
Oh, mom. Look at you. Oh,
mom. Mom.
What?
We have to go downstairs.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to stop you. I'm so sorry. Little baby moment. So sorry.
It's great
nice
to meet you.
Meet you.
Finally.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Why is Sarah here?
Lila's on assignment at Santa Prescott, and the nanny called in sick.
But we can't bring her down there.
Why not, Oliver? Who's she going to tell?
Well, she... I'm not comfortable with her down there.
God help me. My mother loves babies.
Really?
Awesome. All right.
All righty.
Thanks again, Jeremy, for that wonderful reenactment.
Yeah, that so doesn't count as Diggle using nunchucks, just saying it up front now.
Fair.
All right. But I think what my favorite part of that was when after all that fighting and stuff, they went to Felicity, who was doing 20 sit-ups. I was like, yay!
I thought she only said five or something.
Yeah. It was a really great montage at the beginning there.
It was pretty fantastic, yeah. Because it was so epic. It's like, sword fighting, sword fighting, sword fighting. What do normal people do? Yeah. Oh, six. Fucking A.
Yeah.
One more, I get a taco. Seven, I get a taco.
Okay. Good times, good times.
Good times.
I really want tacos now.
You're welcome. And when you have those tacos, you think of me.
I always think of you when I eat tacos.
High five. Oh, whoa. Okay.
That got weird. Whoa!
That's a nice quick one.
Sweet. So, yeah. awesome montage at the beginning, Oliver versus Roy and Ted versus Laurel and Merlin versus Thea. Good times. One thing to note that I didn't point out before, because I'm not sure I noticed before, Ted is working at Wildcat Gyms, and that's his, in the comics, that's his alter ego, his superhero identity.
Wildcat?
Yeah. He is the like Wildcat. You sound like a girl superhero.
I have too low of a voice to be a girl superhero.
That's what you sound
like, a superhero girl.
Maybe maybe when I get in my costume, my gender bend. I don't know. Anyway.
That'd be a little strange, but...
I mean, I don't know. It would help throw you off of your secret identity.
Yeah, I guess.
That superhero is totally a girl, so it can't be Rudy. He's a dude. Why would a dude...
I'd like to see, like, your mutton chops kind of, you know, protruding from the costume.
That would be pretty funny.
Red lipstick. Cat eye, eyeliner.
More of a like purple form.
Okay, yeah. That took a weird turn. So Daddy Diggle is kind of adorable.
Well, Daddy Diggle is kind of adorable, but Ass Whooping Diggle continues to whoop ass. Like, that was one of the things we were worried about when Oliver first said he was going to start benching him. Was, is he going to get to be in the field? And after tonight, I'm like, oh yeah, when shit is hitting the fan, Diggle's part of the team.
Yeah, he is.
Indeed. Good stuff.
Yeah, that was my favorite moments, actually, was seeing him out doing stuff again.
He kind of said he doesn't have a costume. Like,
he could wear the thingy, the balaclava.
Yeah, I mean... That's kind of where Oliver started, but he moved past just the mask pretty quickly.
Yeah. Actually, I am curious why Diggle doesn't have a costume, but Roy already does.
Yeah.
Right? It's one of the good ones, too.
Like, before Roy had a costume, it made sense for Diggle to not have a costume. It was easily explainable. And now it's just like, guys are leaving the black guy out again.
It is. I'm saying.
It's racist.
Exactly.
It is.
Costume.
What? I don't know if we want to play the race card.
I do.
Okay. Racism.
It's bad. Don't do it. All right. Laurel turns into the acting district attorney when the, you know, power goes out. And that was pretty strange.
Yeah, it was sort of throwaway. And it was just so that she could have the power to do the riot thing.
Right. Yeah. Did
I feel like there were other ways that they could have done the Laurel continues to be angry storyline without having to do an arbitrary, oh, you're the district attorney. But exactly. It is cool to show that she's like second in command, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it shows her position, but other than that, it's really just a one moment that's not a huge moment and kind of gets escalated unnecessarily.
I agree.
Yeah,
they were trying to do two different things with it at the same time, and had they made it more about her being just being the district attorney than doing that and making mistakes, then it would have been one thing. And if they had just made it about her being angry, they could have done it a different way.
Yeah.
Also, that scene felt kind of throwaway. Like, the riot happens, and then the arrow shows up, and they throw a couple tear gas, and then it's over. That's all the repercussion there was.
Yeah. I don't know. It feels like it didn't focus on that enough for it to be a big plot, but it focused on it too much to just have it be a side thing. It was in an awkward middle ground.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So, all right. Well, let's see. Let's take a step back. And what are the big plot arcs of this episode?
The island this week was actually the Felicity. Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
The Thea Oliver question was all about is Thea taking Merlin's money, which of course she is because
they're in cahoots.
They're in the cahoots.
Indeed. And then we've got Laurel for a little bit, her thing. I mean, pretty much touched on anything important from that.
Yeah. And then the mom thing. The mom shows up in town, which is a part of the big one, but...
Yeah. So let's, I guess, start with anything else on Laurel's thing, because I don't know. I find her boring.
I think that it is awesome that she is getting training to be a fighter.
Yes.
I don't know if she will ever get to the point where she's as strong enough to be in the team. You know? Like, I feel like everyone's getting trained by these super elite people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like Oliver was tested by the Crucible and became Oliver Queen because he was on the island and then had to kill people. And then, you know, Roy was trained because he had the Mirakuru and he had to deal with that and also underwent training with Oliver, who is already an elite. And then Diggle, who was a fucking pimp in the war. But she's just being trained to box, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Although I do like the moment at the end with her and Ted, where she finally...
Now I know how to train you.
Yeah.
I thought that the dialogue there was pretty hokey, but the idea was good.
Yeah. Which goes with a lot of this show, just with it being on the CW.
Well, I mean, it's not always a problem, though. Like, it's not always. Sometimes they really do have solid...
Yeah, I mean, like, this moment, it wasn't a real problem, but it was definitely there. It was definitely a moment that had that, but it wasn't one of those, like, full-on facepalm moments.
Well, I was just going to say, though, that one thing that I would like to see is I would like somebody to YouTube clip all the times in which Ollie says this phrase, and he says it in the same line read every time. Are you okay?
Well, it's one of the great hypocrisies of this show is anytime someone is having trouble, Oliver can be like, are you okay? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. And he's like, you should take some time. And they're like, you're right, I should. And anytime he's not okay, and they're like, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. It's like, you should take some time. I can't.
Yeah.
That it's just a double standard.
Does get a little repetitive. That's what you get when you have a superhero ego, though.
It's true.
All right, let's move on to Thea and their little arc.
Thea gets a new apartment. Pretty freaking baller.
Yeah, that's not an apartment. That's like a friggin'
an estate.
Yeah.
Well, it's a loft.
Technically, it's a loft apartment, yeah.
An estate loft.
And Oliver's going to go live with her there?
They've got room for it. Yeah.
It's a pretty quick turnaround from, no, I don't like Malcolm Merlin's blood money to, okay, I'll live here.
This place is fucking baller. I want to live here, please. Thank you.
Yeah, that was how I felt, too. It's just little whiplashy.
And there's also the Thea Queen storyline right now is all about, we need to know whether or not she is being played by Malcolm, you know, like, especially at the end when we see Malcolm spying in on their conversation from across the way. It's like, it's hard to know if she really does want him to be there or if she's putting on a happy face of it. Malcolm can get close to Oliver.
Yeah. It seems like from his face, I got that he wasn't super happy about that development.
I think I was still reeling from, my thoughts on that moment were blown away by what happened immediately after, which we'll get to eventually, I'm sure. But But yes, I don't remember how I don't remember noticing what his face looked like, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
They just focused on it a little too long, and it wasn't like a smirk of, oh yeah, she's in there now. It seemed to me like it was more of a, yeah, this is happening and I can't do anything to stop it.
And to me, it looked like he had gotten the direction from his director. Like, whatever you do, don't make it look like you feel anything about this at all. Like, it was as neutral as one could be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it seemed odd. So, it seems to me that Thea is kind of tending to his wishes, but also tweaking that to her own desires, and that doesn't make him very happy about it.
Yeah, well, supervillains are very rarely pleased when people do their own thing.
This is true.
True facts, yeah.
So,
I want you to do my thing. That's what she said.
Awkward, because that's his daughter.
That's, yeah, you're right. Pretty gross. I apologize.
Yeah. So, incest aside, anything else on Thea?
I don't know what she was thinking with that weird... oh, no, I'm dead. I don't know if I don't know if I love what she was doing with her weird crop top shirt. It was like...
Oh, it's a look. All the kids are doing it.
It was like an hourglass thing coming up and down from her neck and waist.
Okay, fashionista. When she was fighting with Merlin, and she goes, "What do normal people do during the day?"
That was a good line.
That is a good line. Well, normal people, what do we do during the day?
I make coffee and I get ready for work and I make some eggs and toast and then I drive to work and then I regret being at work.
That sounds fairly accurate.
Because it's early.
unless you don't have a job, in which case it's pretty much the same thing.
But you wish you had work instead of regretting that you have to go to work.
That was my experience.
You wish you didn't have to apply for jobs, but you know that you have to, so you put aside the last 10 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. so that you can get a job.
Yes.
Yeah. In my industry, though, like, a single job application takes about 2 to 3 hours, and then it takes months before anything happens.
Ugh.
Yeah, universities.
Ugh.
They take forever. I know, because that's what we had to do this summer. Anyways, Arrow. Good on Thea, I guess.
Yeah, I'm happy with Thea. I'm also happy with where her storyline is right now. You know?
Yeah.
She was super boring last season. Like, she was really interesting in season one because she was like a drug addict, and I really liked that version of her. And then she became all, I don't know, annoying. And now she's potentially a villain, and I like that as well.
Or a potential ally.
No, I'm saying villain. I want to see her beat the crap out of Roy.
She's a villain for now, but she's going to turn at some point, I would imagine.
Why would they set her up as Speedy? They're not going to turn into a good guy.
Exactly. Only part I don't like about her...
I think that she will be villainy for a while.
Yes. Agreed. The only thing I don't like about her right now is that she and Roy are doing the whole, oh yeah, we're just going to be fraternal work partners, and not at all romantic.
Not at all bang.
And it's a little heavy-handed. It's almost like the CW is like, hey, this is not a CW show at the moment.
God, we don't have to make everyone date always.
Yeah.
We're going to want them to. Oh, bait and switch.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. Because there's only one person on the whole show that's in a relationship right now. There's usually more than that.
This is true.
Though, yeah. Ollie made it clear that he still has feelings for Felicity this episode.
Yeah. But she, I think she's going to date, oh crap, Brandon Routh's character.
Ray Palmer.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're going to have that awkward, well, everything about those two together is awkward, as we see many times in this episode.
Yeah, they're going to bang, and that's what matters.
Yeah.
That whole scene where he's like at the apartment and the mom shows up and then he's like, all right, I'll see you on Tuesday unless I die because I'm so embarrassed. That's really cute.
That's so good.
Yeah, she was like, at my funeral when I die of embarrassment.
That's what it was.
And then I thought too it was cute when mom met the met Ollie and she was like, how many millionaires do you know?
Yeah. Good stuff.
By the way, that actress who played her mom is like only like 42 or something. And she's hot as hell.
Yeah. There are no unattractive people in this show.
It is the CW.
You must be a minimum of an 8.
Yeah.
Pretty
7
much.
If you're supposed to be ugly.
7 if we're going to make fun of your looks. Which we will. Can I?
Solid.
Okay, before you say anything, just know that I never imagined the virus being used for something like this. I mean, sure, I could have imagined it. I actually have a very vivid imagination. Like Cronuts, I had a vision of them before...
Relax. Take a deep breath. Good. Now start at the beginning.
I was in this, I guess you could call it a group. In college, we were hacktivists. For lack of a better word. Civil disobedience via the World Wide Web. I created this. This super virus. It could give us root access to any infected server. We could expose government fraud and start virtual sit-ins and digitally deface criminals. I guess you could say it was my first attempt at being a hero.
Felicity, why didn't you tell me about any of this?
Do we even know a fraction of what happened to you the 5 years you were away?
All right, let's get into the meat of the episode.
Brother Eye. I did some research on Brother Eye.
All right. Good job. It's a good comic connection.
The Brother Eye in the comic book is actually a helpful entity.
At first.
I don't know. I didn't read the part where they became a bad guy then.
Okay.
Which is an artificial intelligence that exists inside of a satellite.
Yep. And then Wonder Woman kills Maxwell Lord because he kind of gives her absolutely zero choice because he makes Brother Eye go evil and kill or set out to hunt any metahuman, including all the heroes, which is great. And they turn into or create cyborgs that. Not cyborgs, I guess androids, to hunt down all the superheroes. It's a whole thing. It's comics. It gets ridiculous. But yeah, straight out of comics, and I like their adaptation of it into a cyber crime group. It's nice.
So yeah, that's who Brother Eye is in this, and of course he is not actually a artificial intelligence cyborg. But I did think, because I looked it up right when they said Brother Eye on the thing, I looked it up, and they were talking about how he was dead, like, oh, can't be so-and-so, so-and-so's dead. And I was like, did they create an artificial intelligence or a virus so super that it became aware? And then, of course, they did not do that. They didn't go down that road.
That would have been interesting.
That would have been. It would have been a little Hydra-y. Yeah, as soon as I heard that line, though, it's, yeah, this guy died in prison. I'm like, nah, no, he didn't.
No, but I did have a moment because they were talking about Felicity's dad. I'm wondering where he was. I'm thinking, well, maybe Felicity's dad did this.
That would have been really interesting, too.
Indeed. Mm. I would have enjoyed seeing that.
Especially since he brought mom, you know, by email or whatever, by free plane ticket.
Yeah. Good thought, but it didn't pan out that way. I wonder if we'll ever meet Felicity's dad.
I always think it's funny because we always talk about like all these things that could have happened, should have happened, and we were disappointed by. But I'm always in love with this show. Like I don't ever have a week when I'm like, I don't know if I want to keep watching this show. But it's just like little things, like ways plot twists could have been a little better.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is probably one of my very favorite episodes so far. But I think it's mostly because Felicity is probably my favorite character, and it was neat to see her origin a bit, and like that you know, she was brought up by a single mom who is not smart like her but is tough and cool and smart and hot, and that, you know, she was goth was very cute, and a hacker was very cute, and etc. Like all that stuff was fun to see.
Yeah,
I agree with everything you just said.
Chris, why don't you tell us how you feel about Goth Felicity?
I love Goth Felicity. That dark hair, blue eyes, fair skin combination. Ah, marry me, Felicity, marry me.
Do you think that actress is actually dark hair? Because they said that she dyes her hair blonde. Like,
she's probably just not as blonde as she is in the show.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think if you look at her roots, she's more of a dirty blonde.
Yeah, that was my take on it.
All I could think was that, yeah, she's a dirty blonde, but that's inappropriate.
Christopher. High five.
Thank you.
Yeah, judging from Google image search, she looks like a dirty blonde that dyes her hair blonder. So...
Oh, I think she should dye her hair black again. I really like that look a lot.
All right.
I'm okay with it. Although, Chris, you kind of like any girl look on this show.
They haven't hired ugly people. There are no ugly people on the show.
I liked when she came out and her only thing that she had to say was, "This is me now." Which is interesting because... you know, like everybody except maybe Diggs has had a real like transformation moment where they're like taking on a different persona. And so we don't really think about like Felicity as having a different persona, but that's the day she became who she was, who she is now, who we know her as. So that was cool to see, like that, like really a sort of superhero origin story for why she dresses the way she dresses and why she has her hair the way she does it. And, etc.
Oh yeah, I like that.
It was a little too, like, I don't know, abrupt, but it actually made sense in the sense of the story, so I was okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, they could have devoted more time to it, but it wouldn't have made much sense.
Because, you know, hey, we're going to get in trouble with the authorities. Yeah, I'm going to kind of change who I am because this path isn't doing so great for me right now. All right, I can get behind that.
And then, I am curious. So just doing the math, you know, so that was 5 years ago. And then she must have been very close to finishing college. And then she, started at Queen Consolidated and was been working there 2 or 3 years. Is that how we're thinking about it?
But yep. I would presume with a genius level intelligence, you probably graduated college early.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So you remember what I said? Like, so if we go back 5 years into like Thea's past, she'd be like 15 or something.
Yeah.
But in reality, the two actresses are only 5 weeks apart in age.
Weird. And yet they totally look their ages in the show.
Mm.
Yay, production. Go team, go.
Wait, how old is Felicity Smoke supposed to be?
Mid to late 20s, I would say.
Yeah. Old enough to be finished college and to have been working for a few years.
Yeah.
Whereas when we first met her was in high school.
5 years ago, then she might have been in a master's degree program then. Because if it was, so let's say that she's 27, then that would mean that she was 22 when she was still actively in school. And even if she was in her senior year, then that would have been like her fifth year, depending on when her birthday is.
Yeah.
So maybe she was actually finishing her master's degree. Like, I like to imagine that she went straight to college, finished her bachelor's degree in, like, 3 years, and then, like, went on and got her master's very quickly, too, because she's super smart and awesome and everything.
I mean, she could have started doing college-level credits while she was still in high school. That could have gotten her through faster, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada.
Right?
That's a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I started freshman year with 28 credits.
In Washington, there's a thing called Running Start where your junior and senior year, you're taking college-level courses, so you graduate with an associate's degree and a high school diploma at the same time.
Nice.
Years into school. You can get it in Oregon now, too.
And then you transfer into a four-year university, get done in 2 years, and you've got your bachelor's degree by the time you're 20. You get your bachelor's before you can drink.
That's upsetting. That's genuinely upsetting that you can do that. Okay, yeah, that's super different. We can't do that here. There's none of that shit. You finish high school, then you go to university.
Do you have to pay for university?
Kind of. We have a loan program, but the interest on it is whatever inflation is, and you only pay it back if your base salary is more than $47,000 a year.
Wow. That's smart.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
It sounds like we're trying to adopt that. Like, we've got a program that has that same sort of...
Yeah, but it doesn't count if you have a spouse. So, like, I make a lot less than most nurses do, but... It counts on my... If we're together, so...
Yeah, we're going more your way at the moment because we've got an idiot prime minister. But Arrow, sorry.
So, Arrow... Nice little interesting sideline, but not relevant. So, yeah. Let's talk about the brother I and the past of Felicity a little bit. Did you guys enjoy it?
Yeah.
No. I the bulk of the storyline, so like the main current day stuff, I didn't enjoy particularly. I thought it was a bit meh. Like, I really loved all the background stuff. But, yeah, the main storyline I really thought was kind of weak this week.
I thought that Brother Eye's vendetta against Felicity didn't make enough sense for me to believe him as a villain. He was a little too bad scientist by the end of it all.
Yeah, the whole plot seemed a little familiar. Maybe a lot familiar, really, the bad guy going away and then dying supposedly in prison and then getting out and seeking his revenge.
Yeah.
Especially because wasn't he all like, no, only one of us should go to jail?
Yeah. I think he was extra mad because he got recruited by the NSA.
Yeah, I think that just kind of warped his view, which kind of goes along with the theme that they're hinting at this season of Argus being evil. You know, the government organization that goes bad. So I guess it could be something along those lines. I don't know. It felt super familiar and not super exciting.
Yeah. I was fairly disappointed with that.
However, like, seeing her pass was pretty cool. Most of the action was good. Well, most of the action was good. I'll stick with that.
Action though, there was like the one scene where they broke up the riots, and then there was the one scene where when Red Hooded Arrow shot through the middle of the bazooka or whatever, and then his face was like, oh shit, I got it.
Yeah, that was good.
I think that was the best action sequence, but I think that the sequence where Oliver was diving around and taking care of the machine guns was kind of lackluster also.
Oh yeah. Forgot about that one.
Jeremy said it felt straight out of the Batman 66 series, which just came out on Blu-ray, by the way, if you wanted to get that. But I totally agree with him, and it seemed, I don't know, lackluster is a good word for it, and the editing wasn't great. There was too long of a pause before he jumped up there, and I don't know. It was not par for Arrow.
They're able to track stuff and fire as fast as they're able to fire. It should have killed him.
Yeah.
It was an excellent trap, and it should have worked.
That was problematic with the plot was that, and Jesse's the one who pointed this out to me, is that so they took out, like, I just can't imagine a virus being smart enough to take out electricity but then turn on all the televisions and, like, all the TVs in the city were broadcasting the same thing, which I feel like is a thing that television shows or movies have done before. Even this, actually, in fact, this same show has done that, I think, before with Brother Blood.
Yep.
That sounds familiar.
I think you're correct.
That the electricity didn't go out, but all the television were showing Brother Blood stuff.
Well,
so maybe
and
that was familiar, but. Like, it made no sense to have no electricity and then selectively televisions turned on and showed this video.
It's one thing to say that he was able to hack the power grid and turn it off, but when we were doing all the power turning off in the original scene, there were breakers blowing. There were things, like, exploding because things were being overloaded. Like, a lot of those places just would not have electricity until someone came back and fixed that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, it's a little bit, like, on par with the news. I mean, there's that virus that you can get on your iPhone that now can transfer to your Mac, and then there's something about a virus out in the world that has hacked into public works departments and can control water flow and electricity and stuff like that. So on some level, it's almost like kind of current and interesting considering current events, but like so that selective ability to turn off the electricity and turn on the televisions were just hard to buy.
Yeah. I feel like there was some lack of thought in this episode. It was kind of like, well, Felicity Smoke is a fan favorite, so what we'll do is we'll build an episode around her past. They didn't really think much beyond that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how I felt about the whole episode, that it was all just kind of a, well, we know they like Felicity Smoke. They'll like this episode for the background, and then they just really didn't try for the rest.
Maybe,
or if they did,
then we do like Felicity Smoke that much, and we're willing to forgive it.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't wrong, but it's not a great way to be making the show, because the previous episodes have been so strong. I felt this one, like, maybe my expectations were too high when I was like, the secret history of Felicity Smoke. Well, shit, I don't care what else is happening. Like, I want to see this episode. Yeah, I just felt a little bit let down. Come on, CW, you can do better.
I wasn't let down. I still think it was my favorite episode. But again, I think it's just because I love Felicity, and I think that they won me over just with the backstory.
Cool. Good. Yeah. Definitely enjoyable.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yes.
And I also loved Oliver's face when Felicity beat that guy in the face and took his gun and threw it away from him. Like, he had that look on his face like, oh, she can take care of himself. And I kind of felt like the undercurrent of that was, I'm an idiot. I made a big mistake. She is, like, totally buff and awesome, and here I am trying to protect her from my love when she can protect herself.
Yeah.
But can he protect her from giant explosions, which is what he's afraid of?
Yeah, well, I saw him wondering about that, is what I felt like.
Mm.
Like, I'm such an idiot. Of course she can protect herself. She's tough.
Good stuff. Yeah, that moment was definitely worth the episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's come such a long way from being, like, the one that people kidnap and she, like, sort of helplessly is hoping that someone comes to rescue her to being the one that can get herself out of really terrifying situations.
Yeah. Favorite line of the episode?
Would have ended up in that situation, and she might have been able to do the part with the computer, but she would have depended on Arrow to get her out of his grasp, his physical grasp.
Yeah.
I am running out of expletives.
You need to track down whoever Myron shared your code with.
I hacked all of his emails and all of his text messages from 5 years ago, and all I got was depressed.
Okay. What about your ex?
I already told you he didn't do it.
Why? Because he's your ex-boyfriend?
Because my senior year of college, Cooper and I did a stupid thing. He got arrested, and he went to prison.
So he went to prison. Maybe he got out.
He didn't.
How do you know?
Because he's dead. He hung himself before sentencing.
Felicity,
I just really need to be alone right now.
Do you know what my favorite line of the episode is?
Yes.
How do you feel about that new smart wearable? Oh, it's a real lifesaver.
Yeah, that was cute. Yeah.
That was good. My favorite was towards the beginning when Diggle shows up and he tries to bring Sarah down into the Arrow cave. Oliver's just like, we can't bring her down there. He's like, who's she going to tell? And Oliver just says, I'm not comfortable with it. And so they give the baby off to Felicity's mom, who everyone just met. And then later there's a throwaway line that where somebody from Argus just shows up and takes Sarah. Some guy from Argus. So it's not even like Amanda or Lila or Diggle. It's just some random dude from Argus shows up and takes the baby.
I know, I had a moment there where I was like, aw, shit. Because I thought, well, Argus is bad, or there are people in Argus who want to ruin families, and is this next week's episode is Where's Sarah? But then it turns out Diggles is the one who ordered the Argus person to pick him up, so my guess is
it's weird that Diggle has so much authority in Argus as sort of a casual overhire.
Go get my baby.
I just want to know why Mama Smoke was okay with, you know, just handing off the baby to some random person.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like she needed some vodka at that stage. I don't know. She seems like one of those real party people.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we have a bottle of vodka, give us the baby. And it was just a straight swap.
Baby for a bottle of vodka? What a deal!
That's fair. That's
a deal.
Now I don't have to look after said baby, and I can be drunk.
Sweet.
I also loved when Felicity took her mom to Verdant, and she was like, a club? I'm not just for a club. She was like this blue lace short dress on, her boobs are all out, and you can see her whole back. And I was like, ha-ha, I get it. I get what you're doing here.
Yeah, it was good. All right, so something that we should have been doing for a while and haven't really, I want to address the questions in the summary and actually legitimately sit down and discuss them.
That's a good idea.
So,
yeah.
Did Roy do what we are being made to think he did?
I don't want to believe that he did. Because unless it's like an overarching problem with the Mirakuru, it's not like he's going to make the choice. And if he's having fever dreams about it, then it was like he didn't actually do he may have been the one doing it, but I don't think he actually did it. You know?
Right, like he was programmed to or something?
Maybe. Yeah. Or, I don't know.
Dream he was throwing the arrows, not firing them, and I don't think you can throw an arrow and pierce someone's chin.
It's not very easy, but if he still had latent super strength, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Hard to say. It feels a little weird and a little too, hey, this is what we want you to think for it to be the ultimate solution.
Whose blood did the Mirakuru get made from? It was Slade, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I wonder if it is a little like I wonder if Slade did it. Because then that would give like a sort of genetic component to why he would have fever dreams about somebody else or somebody else who also was on Mirakuru. So that maybe he's having like some kind of sentient like connection with the person.
Like twins who dream about the same things.
Right, exactly.
That's a good theory. Because, I mean, we know Slade's alive. We don't know what he's up to. We just assume that he's off in a prison, but it was either.
I did say that he knows about Oliver's prison on.
Exactly, and he said it. He hinted that it wasn't very effective.
Mm-hmm.
So. Interesting. I like it. All right, so that was awkward. Our Laurel and Ted trading more than jabs.
Not yet, but eventually.
Yeah, for sure. They're going to pop.
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement there.
Definitely.
Then who does Oliver get to be in love with?
Just still Felicity.
Yeah.
Felicity said she's done with him.
Yeah, but it's Felicity forever.
All right. She's still shipping Felicity. I get it.
It's fair. Will Ray continue to allow Felicity to have the most ridiculous reasons for leaving work early or not turning up at all?
Yes.
Yeah. He's in love with her. He's going to do whatever she wants.
Well, in the times that she is there, she's doing such good work that it doesn't matter.
Yeah. She's got him wrapped around her finger pretty nicely.
And he's also already a genius as well, so it's like anything he can't do, he really just needs a spitball.
Agreed.
What do you think? What was that moment when she was like, "I'm sick. I gotta go." And then he looked back at his iPad or whatever, a tablet, and he was like, "Oh, that's pretty genius."
Right. I feel like it was a throwaway for something that he had thought himself. But at the same time, we do know that the last time that he hacked the hard drive, he was looking at military technology.
Yeah.
I think there may be something dubious about this Ray Palmer.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm for sure that he's going to be bad.
I'm uncertain on that.
Put it on record. He's, like, going to win over the city by being awesome and giving them free electricity and blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile, he's, like, planning the demise. He's going to tear it all down and rebuild.
No, I don't think if anything, he'll become like an arms dealer, but he'll be selling outside of Star City.
Yes.
Right, yeah, I think that would be good.
I don't know. I don't think
Ray Palmer typically turns into who?
The Atom.
Who's like a Superman, right?
He's like Ant-Man.
Oh, okay.
Is he a good Ant-Man or a bad Ant-Man?
Good Ant-Man.
Well, I don't know then.
But he also, I think he also, like, worked on weapons. I don't know. I'm not a big Atom guy. So, all right, last question. Will Ali allow for a more family-friendly, flexible workplace by setting up a creche in the Arrow Cave?
A creche?
A creche.
Archaic word for crib.
Or
no.
A cot.
They are like daycare.
I was thinking of it being like the bed that baby Jesus lays in a manger.
That's a crib. No, wait, yeah, what?
A creche is, technically it's what cattle do. So when you've got calves, they tend to keep all the calves together. And then like some of the full grown cows stand around it to kind of make their own pen. And that's a creche. And we call daycare here the same kind of thing.
Well,
where we put all the shitty little things in one place.
Wow. Wow. You're
well gonna be said.
A terrible father.
I'm gonna be great.
The answer is no to that question.
Yeah. Absolutely not.
Fantastic. That was awesome.
Cool. Yeah, that's about it. Join us next week for Guilty. It's the name Guilty. Of the episode. No obvious choice of who that's about. So, we shall see.
Until Laurel will avenge her sister's death.
Wow.
I think she's going to get the shit kicked out of her a couple more times.
I hope so. Put her in her place a little bit. All right.
I don't know. He knows how to train her now because she knows what, he knows what the hurt is, I guess.
Yeah.
Black. Definitely black is what she says.
Breathlessly.
Black. Black.
Definitely black.
All right. Until next time, if you want to leave us feedback, shoot us an email at arrowpodcast@gmail.com or go over to our website at arrowpodcast.blogspot.com. Please like us on Facebook and rate and review us on iTunes. iTunes is giving me trouble right now. The episodes disappeared off there, so I'm trying to get that fixed. And
ooh, you didn't tell me how to do that.
Get them uploaded. So, we shall see how that goes. Until next time, I am Daniel James.
I'm Rudy Schuback.
I'm Chris O'Neill.
And I'm Laurel Mers.
Something about Papa Merlin.
Yada, 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 Papa.
Well, I'm officially off. I mean, my flight doesn't leave till tonight, but I figured you'd be working, so we can just say goodbye now. You were right. About what? I haven't always been appreciative of you. You were always there for me every day and night. So if I haven't said thank you enough, thank you. But you were wrong too. Mm-hmm. When you said all you saw in me was Dad, there was nothing of you in me. Well, I can't really explain it, but over the past 2 years, I have been through a lot. And I have learned that I am a lot tougher than I thought. That I get from you. Don't cry.
Felicity, I took another look at those cogeneration numbers. You wanna... Oh. Hi.
Again.
Hi.
How's that new smart wearable working out for you?
Oh, it's a real lifesaver. Mm-hmm. Ray, I can't come into work today. I am calling in sick.
Feel better.
Thank you. See you later.
Podcast is an Autological Media Productions podcast. Leave us feedback at roguearrow.blogspot.com or shoot us an email at arrowpodcast@gmail.com. Please like us on Facebook and rate and review us on iTunes. And if you'd want to check out our other shows, go to almproductions.net. As always, thank you for listening.
I'm going to go make pizza and drink beers.
And play that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Will do.
I love you, Brady.
Make sure you enjoy that birthday sex.
Yes.
Wow.
I hope that makes the podcast.
My 8-year-old daughter is in the room, so hello. Get it under control.
Hello.
A little warning next time would be nice.